It's time for the No Shot Clock Podcast. We're talking the biggest stories in Illinois high school basketball. Now, here are your hosts, Michael O'Brien of the Chicago Sun-Times and Joe Hendrickson of the City Suburban Boost Report.
It's state tournament time, everybody. Our final week of the high school basketball season is here. Super sectionals are over. Mike, we are going to look at the state semifinals coming up in Champaign, starting on Thursday. I know you did. How's that work again? With it, like the press conferences started this morning, correct?
Well, yeah, they changed. It was a really great idea that I was partially responsible for. I will take credit. Nice. Talking with Matt Troha years ago about how it was kind of ridiculous that there was no press conferences with all the media. We were basically bothering these coaches. So these coaches, you know, would win a super and local media, state media, everybody would be bugging them, you know, because they needed to do preview stuff. And I'd be like, wouldn't it be easier if you just let them put them on a call or did a thing with us for 10 minutes and then they're done? They don't got to deal with it. And Matt's like, well, that already exists. We already do it for the TV crews, you know, because they're getting all their stuff for the broadcast. So it was something that already existed. So they just share the conference call with us. And so we get on and the other media gets like 5 or 10 minutes to ask questions after the TV people get what they need. And what the TV people ask for is actually, it's super helpful. I find these calls to be do not miss, like, you know, Meridian or West Cent, these teams I've never seen, you know, they ask, what kind of offense do you run? Kind of defense do you run? Go through your starting lineup, talk about each player. So I learned so much about these teams that really help me write my stories, you know, over the weekend. Even if I don't ask a question or don't have a question, it's a super, super valuable. Now it did go from about 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. usually. So it's a long day, but I was okay with that because it was worth it. Well, they changed it and they overlapped them all this morning. So it started at 7:30 in the morning, which was a little brutal for my schedule, and was over by 11. And so now they do record them, though. So I guess tomorrow I have to go back and listen to the 2 and 4A, which just seems...
So they just assume some people don't want to listen to the other ones?
I guess why? So. Yeah.
Well, I did notice a tweet that you had. And there was some reaction, and it's a something that I forgot all about because you I think your tweet something to the effect of 9:30 a.m. games for semifinals are stupid.
Yes, that's about it.
I will second that. But prior to seeing that, you know, this whole new format still pretty well. It is. It's still fresh and new. I had kind of forgotten about all of the time slots for all the games until I went to the brackets. Finally, we get this close to it. You start breaking it down. You're looking like, oh yeah, these games, I forgot all these times suck. Like there's no real games on Friday night. There's no, anyway. So then, you know, there was some debate and some responses to yours and everybody's got, my question to you, Mike, is this, I don't understand why this is so hard. I know the IHSA wants to give it a go and see how things But I think one of the biggest grumbling aspects of the new format were the times of games, correct? Last year? Wouldn't you agree that how they were played, what times of the day they were played and stuff like that?
Yes.
So my question, why couldn't they just fix it right away?
You know, and I don't know if you remember, I think I even mentioned in the podcast that I kind of heard that there was going to be some changes in the times. I think it was last year they were, but yeah, it hasn't happened. So I don't know if that means they've decided.
How hard is it to, like Thursday, 1A, 12:30, 2:15, session break, come back, or that's 1A, 2A, 5:15, 7, Thursday, you get all your games in. Why can't we just play the third place game? I know you hate third place games. You want to get rid of them. They should be booted off the planet. I think the history perspective and people getting trophies, and I know you could just give them both of a state finals appearance trophy and they take one home with them. But if they want to play their game, let them play their game. But why don't they just play it at 9 and like 10:30, 10:45?
There's one theory that They want them gone. They don't want to pay for the hotel.
Then that's ridiculous.
I don't know if you're
all about the experience and more people involved and being able to taste the champagne. That's why we have four classes. That's why we went to four classes, so more people could enjoy it. Well, give them a bone, let them stay all night. And you play 9 to 10:30 games. That's a lame excuse. I'm not saying it's right or wrong from you're saying it's true or not. But
I find it dangerous. Those games are ending so late, and some of these places are really far away. Are they really going home? I was surprised to hear that they might not be staying.
Oh, from late at night. Yeah, right.
Yeah, those games are ending super late. I mean,
but you wipe those games out. You're playing a semifinal at 9:30. I think we could play a third place game at 9 a.m. Right? So then you play the 3A, 4A semis at, let's say, 1 and 2:45. Clear it out. 4A semis are 5:45 and 7:30. And then you come back Saturday, 9 and 10:30 of the third place games for 3A and 4A. And you do it again Saturday. I mean, I was looking in 1991, 1986, 19, all these years, you know, in the time the state championship, the state quarterfinal game scheduled, the tip was?
Super late.
8:30 p.m.
Yeah.
State championship game, 8:15 p.m.
Well aware.
years and years. And now it's just like, I'm not saying it's ruined the experience. But Friday night, we don't have games. We're playing these Friday semifinal games in the morning. It makes no sense. So
one thing I have heard is that more than four games in a day is a lot on that title game on that Saturday or something.
They play more than four on the other ones.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal was, but I know there was a lot of resistance about doing anything else on Saturday. When it was initially discussed, I remember that much.
So Saturday's six games is different than Friday's six games?
Allegedly. I don't know why. I'll hear about it this week, but
well, okay. Let's just get into 4A, Mike. There's a decent feel for this. You know, you've got your North Shore, you got your South Suburbs, you got your, you know, Central Illinois representative, and you got your fresh new name in Palatine. You know, that first semifinal in 4A, Palatine and Normal, you know, when the season began, no one would have guessed Palatine. Everyone would have been, yeah, Normal. They're loaded. Bunch of scholarship guys. They're huge. Division I talent. Wouldn't be shocking if Normal gets to Champaign. But Palatine, I think, is the big story. They upset Warren in the super sectional. You know, they lost to Warren in the regular season by just a point. Connor May, I did some numbers, Mike. I don't have them in front of me. Gosh darn it, I forgot. But in his last four postseason games, it's like 23-12 he's averaging. Throwing a game-winning last-second shot. You know, he's had one heck of a postseason. You know, the 6'7 senior going to Wash U, a Division III steal. That game, to me, two things. You could argue Normal has an advantage because they are so big. 6'10, 6'8, bring a 6'9 guy off the bench, 6'6 guy in the wing. Their point guard, 6'3, 6'4. And then you talk about Palatine neutralizing Connor May, a 6'7 guy who's pretty versatile. But on the other hand, Palatine plays a funky zone that has given some problems, underrated problems, and Normal does not shoot the ball. Their three-point shooting, very poor. So those two things, do they wash out? I don't know. I think Normal obviously is the favorite. Can Palatine pull off the idea in November, Mike?
Don't get me started. You talked me out of them, Jim. You talked me out of them in the Super. Do you remember this? I was all vaguely in. Yes.
And I liked Palatine. I didn't have my Super 25. You know, it's interesting. I think it was my first or second game I saw of the year was Palatine against Glenbrook South at Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And I think Glenbrook South took it to them. But I liked Palatine. I just didn't think they had enough They lost. I mean, Eric Millstone's done a fantastic job. People forget they've lost. They lost some key talent players from last year's team.
Yeah, no doubt. But they had May and Elter back. You got your best player and your point guard back. Yeah, I was pretty confident. Everybody's like, oh, they didn't look so great this summer.
And they've got some mojo. But my point is, let's just say that you plugged them in at 21, Mike. Let's just give you that.
I should have.
By no means would you say, Palatine State Championship game? Yeah, I can see that happening.
I don't know. The way the road is...
We didn't know the road at the time.
Yeah. The state championship game, no, maybe not. I'll tell you, I'd be more surprised if New Trier gets there than Palatine, to be honest.
You think New Trier over HF is a bigger surprise than Palatine and Normal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And especially in the preseason.
I guess because I was much higher in New Trier, I guess. But I think they're equal, to be honest. I just because of that. That zone. Normal's a favorite. HF's the favorite. HF's the team to beat. I get. Here's the thing that people, I think, forget about in state tournament play. And it's up and down 3A, 4A. The one glaring thing that people have a hard time kind of dissecting of a really good, valuable, good team is their defense. And I talk about New Trier's shooting, New Trier's perimeter weapons. They've got three guys with 75 threes or more, I think, and another one with 40. I mean, they can shoot the ball. They can put five guys that can space the floor. But whether it's New Trier, the Palatine zone, the DePaul man-to-man, their defense is really underrated, New Trier's.
And they needed it because they were not hitting anything against Glenbrook North. You know, I was at the sectional final. That let them down, and the defense kept them in the game.
And they can switch. They're long. I just think that has been very, very undervalued in this particular New Trier team. And jumping around a little bit here, but what a run Scott Fricke and New Trier have been on for 3 years, if people haven't been paying attention. I mean, some serious winning these last three seasons. But I guess any more thoughts on Palatine Normal?
Yeah, Normal. I mean, I've seen them a lot, you know, for a non-Chicago area team.
Yeah.
And I feel more confused about them than I would have, I think, if I had not seen them at all. You know, I think I've seen them lose two or three games and win once against DePaul, who I think DePaul lost like two guys to injury during the game and also had two guys already out injured. So they were playing like some third stringers. Normal managed to win. So yeah, it's the thing that stands out to me is what you mentioned, the shooting. They're obviously very big, but I've seen a lot of their bigs disappear for whole games and not really
happened. I was texting with Dave Witzig, the head coach there today. A lot of respect for him, what he's done there over the years. And you know, one of his texts, pull it up, we were just going back and forth about some things, and he just said, playing the great teams up there really helped us. I give them credit, Mike. I mean,
they lived up here.
I mean, multiple weekends.
Yeah.
They beefed up the schedule. I'm not criticizing Southern Illinois, Central Illinois teams, because some of it's out of their control with scheduling, distance, travel. Sometimes they're not capable of doing it.
Yeah, like Mount Vernon, who we'll talk about. They're not going to be able to make trips up here constantly.
Yeah.
And
every school district's different of how they view it, but Normal took advantage of it and did it. And you go through their slate of games, they played a really tough schedule. So, I'll probably be picking Normal. I would not be stunned if Palatine won. But I'll pick Normal in a low scoring, very low scoring, tight one.
Normal into the title game. It's HF New Trier. I mean, this to me seems HF's got to be at least a 10-point favorite, right?
Oh, Mike, just setting lines.
Right?
I mean, if you gave me 10 points, I'd take New Trier though.
Okay.
HF looked so impressive in their comeback against Curie. They have such a variety of weapons. And I've been, you know, I know Gianni Cobb, well deserved, received a ton of pub and hype, all area and MVP of the league, and you know, all state caliber guard, and has done it with energy, scoring, putting pressure. And Bryce Hurd has kind of been the steady 16, 17 point per game guy. And, but I, you know, I've been praising since last spring, the guard JD Tyler. And I just, he turned that game around with the help of Gianni Cobb as well, but his burst there in the second half really kind of, you know, they were down eight to Curry, came back, poof. I think it was like an 18 to four run that those two guys.
He scored 10.
Yeah. So
Tyler, yeah.
People are really kind of sleeping on him to a degree because of the, you know, his talent that he's not, he doesn't force things. He just like kind of lets it come to him. He's very unselfish. He's got some dynamic ability. You know, he can shoot from 23 feet while open court, transition, get to the rim. Their weapons are just a wide variety of them. And yeah, they're favored. They're the best team left of the bunch. They're the most talented team. And man, did I was working on some preview stuff, Mike, and their wins on the season. It's crazy. You know, in this particular season, who they played, who they beaten Thornton twice, beaten Downers Grove North, beaten Bloom two times, beat Rich, beat Bolingbrook. They lost to Bolingbrook as well. You know, it to beat DePaul Prep. It is a lengthy, lengthy list of massive wins that make them who they are, the team to beat in 4A in Champaign this weekend.
I mean, they've beaten the best team in every league, in every area. All they needed, all they were lacking, was the Curie win, and they got that last night. You're right. The resume, yes, they've dropped some games, but it's almost as close to perfect as you could get in
no,
a season.
No North Shore wins yet.
Oh boy, yeah,
there we go.
That over. Well, I guess they can see. They can.
I got one left.
Off.
One left. Yeah.
I mean, I think New Trier's, it's been a good story and it's fun. And Chris Kirkpatrick, you know, is fun. That's what I didn't see coming with them in the preseason, was that they were going to have a sophomore, you know, leading them in scoring in a lot of big games. He was really spectacular against Glenbrook North. And
he's
that
had three 20-plus point games in the postseason.
Yeah, that's been something to see for a sophomore to step. We've had a lot of sophomores really play well in the playoffs, and they just rolled over Glenbard North for those. It was like 65-41, I think. So, yeah, I mean, they're on a high, and we always talk about, you know, when you win your four or five games in a row here, you know, how much better you're playing. And I think New Trier is definitely in that category, but they've just got a lot of issues against Homewood Flossmoor. I mean, that's anybody would. I mean, this isn't a shot at New Trier. There's no team in Peoria this or Peoria. Boy, I am off today, Joe. I called you Jim.
I'm usually the one that calls it Peoria.
Yeah, boy, I am. It's been a long last night. It was just so long. I didn't get home till anyway. And then I had to be up at this day. It's been rough, everybody, but we'll get through it. So yeah, I'm not nothing against New Trier. Homewood Flossmoor would be, I think, a 10-point favorite for me against anybody out here. And I think they're heavy favorites to win 4A.
Yeah, I got HF winning. I think it's going to be a little tighter, closer than maybe you're saying. And again, I'm going back to the mantra of the season for me, that I'm not going to be surprised at anything, because Homewood Flossmoor is the best team this year. I just don't think in our state there is this overwhelming supernova of a team. And with that, then everyone's beatable. And, you know, just concerned too. Now, New Trier was, I don't know how they shot it in the Super. It's always interesting when shooting teams are in a big, huge arena.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't matter, but then sometimes it just does not work that way. It doesn't click. So, but yeah, HF, I got HF normal. And now, you know, I picked, when the 3 weeks ago when the state tournament began, I picked Curie to win the state title. HF beat them. I will go with HF as state champion, the team and the podcast in November that I didn't think could win a state championship.
Yeah, whoops. Boy, it sure looked like after three quarters that Curry was going to win the state title, didn't it, last night? Man.
Oh, I thought they were – I kind of felt like they were firmly in control.
Yeah.
It was one of those games that wasn't – it wasn't a 15- or 12-point lead. It just felt like a anywhere from 4- to 8-point game that just they still seemed in control of, even
and,
if it was
– Yeah, and then they came back at the end.
Yeah, tied it up.
Yeah, that was something. It was definitely the two best games I've seen this year. Have both been HF, the HF Thornton and the HF Curry. Just a rare high level game. We didn't get a lot of those this year, so maybe maybe HF can give us two more. Maybe New Trier will shoot well, and so HF New Trier will be great, and then Normal or Palatine will come in, and maybe HF can bring everybody's level up this weekend and really make 4A fun. I guess one question I would before we leave 4A. Let's say Homewood Flossmoor wins, and let's say Gianni Cobb does what he's been doing. Do we see a Bryce Harding type Mr. Basketball surge for Gianni Cobb?
Brock.
Gosh, yeah. I can't get anything right today.
I think it'd be hard pressed, and nothing against.
But let's say Somerville loses and doesn't play well in the first round. So he's.
You're talking about Mr. Basketball?
Yeah.
I think we know one glaring positive for Merez Johnson, in addition to being a really good player.
It is, yes, the Illinois vote. Yeah. But I think the Illinois vote, I think things changed because they voted so much later. You know, I think Jeremy Fears Jr. probably would have won if it was normal voting. But since they waited until well after the state tournament.
Well, the other thing, Mr. Basketball voting is kind of hidden. So
yeah, not too many people. You're right. Who knows what these 40 people will do?
It's hard to find a ballot. So I don't know. I don't want to get started. That award is really kind of, it still means something, but it's the way it's handled and done. It's atrocious.
But Merez Johnson's candidacy took a hit last night. I agree with the Illinois thing, but
yeah. And geez, I mean, Somerville was a monster.
Yeah.
So that's fine. 32 and what if he goes nuts?
Yeah, I think he's deleting. I think they're about equal right now. Maybe, and if Somerville wins state, I think
I just don't think Cobb has the name recognition statewide, at least. We've been glowing about him here in the Chicago area. I mean,
he's beaten Merez Johnson twice. Somerville lost to him once.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting he's not being talked about more. But anyway, let's get on. That's a lot of 4A. So 3A, we got Mount Carmel against Mount Zion, DePaul Prep against Peoria Richwoods.
We got two newbies that we haven't been seeing forever, Mount Carmel and then Mount Zion.
Let me give a Mount Zion rundown for the podcast listeners. I think we're all not very familiar with them. 35-1. Is the record. The one loss is to Metamora. It was by 3 or 4 points at Metamora. And I got a fun rundown. Their coach did a really nice job on the call I was talking about. Sounds like a really exciting sophomore, JC Anderson, 6'7". Very skilled post player, tremendous rebounder. Said he's been dominant at times and carried them through the fourth quarter in the super sectional last night against Centralia. Just a sophomore. Then they've got two junior guards, Lincoln Coster and Sam Driscoll. Driscoll is a really good three-point shooter. Coster can do both. I guess he shoots it deep. We've got a lot of those guys now that like to shoot it deep. He can also get to the basket. Then they've got that guy everybody kind of needs now, only senior starter, the toughness grit guy, Grant McAtee, this senior power forward. And then a Division I football prospect, super athletic small forward, Braden Trimble. So he's just a junior too. So this is a team a lot of people think might be headed for kind of a Metamora, two-year something run here.
Yeah, they were so intriguing to me. I tracked down some tape and watched them film actually a couple of their games this year. Right when I was doing that, best teams around the state story I did in January. And, Lincoln Coster, he's a kid that's, played some AAU up here with the Illinois Wolves in his early years. So I was familiar with him. And then I wanted to get a look at JC Anderson. And he is, what you just said. He is a sleeping giant in the sophomore class and really intriguing to me. as a player and prospect. He's, you know, 6'7". He's really put together. He's stronger. You know, can step out and knock a shot down. So I think that's a great story, just because we haven't, you know, seen them. We haven't heard much about them in their history. And if you're playing Metamora, if you had your one loss, now I looked at their schedule. It's not, you know, it's not a schedule that's, it's probably the weakest schedule of any team that's playing in Champaign this weekend. It's not probably, it is.
In but, the top classes.
Yeah, yeah, in their top 3A and 4A.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you play a Metamora, who I picked to win a 3A state championship to repeat to a three-point game, you know, in the middle of January, that's impressive. And, you know, I talked to Danny Greaves, the Metamora coach, about Mount Zion. He was very, very impressed with Mount Zion. So I the excitement about where they're headed, to your point of next year, big time, you know, two-year window they got here.
I think Mount Carmel's extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
They're not the team that – they're just not as good as they were in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I think they've persevered, to be honest. You know, losing Lee Marks, not just because he's probably their second or third best player, but because of who he is and what he does for them. You know,
he's going to try to play.
Oh, well, that, trying to play and being the guy he was in January is probably different.
It's going to be way different. This was Phil Seagrove's quote. It's an elbow injury Lee Marks has been out with. Basically, he said that Lee Marks with 1.5 arms is better than most people with 2.
Hmm.
So
I think for them to win a state title, and not to put too much weight on the shoulders, but I just think Angelo Chirvino has got to be the high major recruit that he is, and they're going to have to shoot it well. I can't say enough about the job Grant Best has provided Mount Carmel this year. He's been an unsung player. He was huge in their game in the super sectional again with some big plays. He's kind of been quietly their second best player all year long. And I don't think anybody would argue that within the program either. So I you know, not knowing Mount Zion the way we do these other teams, you know, I don't even know who to pick, you know. It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard to pick with Mount Zion's just because we haven't seen them. The Grant Best thing, and I didn't get to write about the Mount Carmel game, but he had 14 rebounds. And I don't know if he missed a shot. You know, he had like 10 or 11 points, but he was, you know, just so efficient. At most, he missed one. It was quite a game for him because they were struggling, and his rebounds really helped keep them in that game. I guess I'm going to get heat for this. I haven't seen Mount Zion, but the one loss thing, hearing about him, I don't know. I kind of wonder if they'll pull it off. Actually, I just feel like Mount Carmel is definitely vulnerable. Taking nothing away from St. Patrick, I thought they played really well as well, but it just wasn't, you know, a loaded super sectional opponent for Mount Carmel. So DePaul Prep, Peoria Richwoods. Richwoods, the big story of last night, I think. Everybody, you know, man, but all this stuff on Twitter about how, oh, why were they doubted? They were doubted and they were the underdog because Thornton had already beat them. Like, what's wrong with some people on Twitter? Like, who would make Richwoods the favorite in that game? This isn't like, it wasn't a subjective thing at that point. They'd already lost to him.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess my only thing with Richwoods is, and I think I wrote this in the preview, I do think they, and this doesn't mean that they're not the underdog against Thornton, but I do think they are the best team that we, and again, we're Chicago area, but I talk a lot about teams and around the state and try to plug it in a podcast here and there. I do think they're the best team that no one's talked about.
Well, there's a reason.
And
they lost to Hyde Park.
Yes, I they played Thornton to a, what was it, a two-point game?
Yeah, it was close. Maybe more like 5 or something. Yeah, but it was very close. And it was early.
Yeah.
Early. But when you lose to Hyde Park, I'm sorry. And they talked about the Peoria Richwoods coach addressed that. He said that was their low point of their season. He said, you know, they learned a lot about themselves. Everything got better. It sounds like they've been just a much better, much less selfish, much improved team since Hyde Park loss.
Those were November, December games is my point. And they haven't lost since early January. You know, I their schedule's okay. I mean, they only beat St. Lawrence by six. And so,
you're not the only person saying this. It was all over. And I'm like, well, there's plenty of reasons no one was talking about Richwood's as elite because they didn't have the resume.
Right. But I guess I go back to my thought of how good Lathan Somerville is. And I he's a player I haven't talked a ton about either. It's just because we don't see him a lot and they weren't. Anyway, my point is he's a monster, man. And when you can truck him out there and his, I don't know what he's averaging. He's got to be averaging at least 25 a game.
Oh, I just did it. Yeah, like 24 and 13 or something.
Yeah. And Mike, he's different than, and I know you haven't seen him.
I watched a live stream. Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah, but he's also his footwork and his skill level. I mean, he'll knock a three down and he's not going to brick it. I mean, he's I don't know what he's shooting from three, but I bet he's knocked down at least 20, 25 threes, if not more. And he's got a soft touch. He can pass. He can put it on the floor. He'll back you down a little bit. I think people are going to be like, whoa, this dude, this guy. It's going to be impressive showing from Lathan Somerville.
So we'll see if, you know, DePaul Prep does have, you know, McElroy and Porter and they know defense. And so it'll be interesting to see how they can stop him. Tommy Kleinschmidt didn't sound too positive about how he was going to do it today, but that should be an interesting matchup.
They have some size to throw at them. And everybody knows Jalen McElroy is probably one of the best defensive players in the state. You know, Rob Walls is arguably one of the best defensive players in the state. They've just got this interchangeable pieces defensively where they can, like Jalen McElroy, he can go guard anybody. But what will be interesting is, you know, they can switch one through five, but who are you switching off Somerville to? Because he's just a game changer and one you have to game plan around. But DePaul, you know, they're 33-2. They've really been impressive in terms of rolling through this 3A field, which I know I've abused. And DePaul didn't play around. I mean, I was told that 51-31 super sectional game wasn't nearly as close as even the score indicated. They annihilated every team they played in the postseason. You know, they finished off strong with wins over Mount Carmel and Bennett in the final week of the season. So they are humming, man. And you can't dismiss the fact, I know it's 2A to 3A, but they know how to win. They're accustomed to playing in Champaign. They won it all in 2A last year, and that's a big benefit, particularly, I think, in that state semifinal game when the nerves can get up and bite you in that first quarter of a game.
No doubt about it. This is McElroy's third finals. Yeah, I think that's going to be huge, and that'll be, you know, obviously Richwood's might have the best player in the whole thing, but DePaul Prep with that experience definitely will help. I don't know. This one's, I think you have to go with, I have to go with Richwood's because of Somerville. He might be the best player in the whole thing, but I think that'll be maybe the best semifinal or the most fun semifinal game to see, hopefully.
I think just from a perspective of the nuances of the game and how it's played, I think it's going to be the most interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good question. The best semifinal game in 3A and 4A, the best one?
That's the one I have trouble picking, I guess, the most.
The best game, I think, I can't say Mount Zion. I was going to say Mount Zion, Mount Carmel, but I just haven't seen
that's the most intriguing. yes, we don't know. That win's most intriguing for sure.
Well, you think the best chance of a double-digit one is HF Nutrier.
Yeah.
I think the best chance of a double-digit would be, I don't think any of them are going to be double digits. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it's the one.
I hope not. I hope you are correct.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to think of, like, I haven't made my picks for 3A. Boy, that's hard. You're just not super familiar with the teams like we are up here. I could be so much more, have so much more conviction.
Yeah, somebody was asking me on Twitter, and I'm like, I don't know. I haven't seen half the field live, so what do you want from me?
So do you cover – when was the last time two non-Chicago area teams played in a state championship in a big class?
Pretty recently, I think. One of the Belleville ones.
Okay. Right? I was trying to think of if Mount Zion played Richwoods.
Or maybe it happened in 3A. Yeah, I mean, I'm there. We got a photographer. I'll cover it. I don't know if it'll be in the print paper. Like I covered, that's what I'm worried. I covered too much 1A and 2A last year and wore myself out.
Metamora, Sacred Heart Griffin.
Yeah, it happened. It hadn't happened for a while, but it's been happening a bit lately too.
Yeah.
Quick, we got a few minutes here. We got Phillips is the only kind of local in 2A. And I think they're also the favorite, although I have not listened to the 2A conference call yet, and I do not know much about Williamsville, Byron, and Benton. We know Byron was undefeated for a long time before losing to Beecher, who Phillips beat. Small mention to Latin, who did get to the Super and had a kid averaging a million points that we did not talk about all year. They lost to Byron. And down in 1A, we could wind up with a 1A final. It's Hope Academy and Ronnie Fields and apparently a fantastic underclassman guard I'm looking forward to seeing against Meridian. And then Aurora Christian, who has a fantastic sophomore guard against West Central, which is the name of that school. It's called something else, some other places, but it's a co-op. They want to be called West Central. So we could have a Hope Academy, Aurora Christian state final, Joe, in 1A.
I'm picking Phillips. Win it all.
Yeah, right. That seems to be. And I don't know how I feel. I mean, I don't know. It always feels so weird for a public league team to come in and.
I think they're rolling. They rolled the undefeated Beecher. Are they the Bobcats?
Yes. Yes. Well done. Beecher Bobcats. I was sad. I mean, not rooting against Phillips or anything. And they're a nice story, but Beecher was going to be a pretty fun story.
Love that story.
Yeah, that would have been a little neat to see in 2A, but. No dice. Phillips, which is a young team, so that's the fun for them. You know, they'll be one of our better teams in the area next year and in the city. Hope Academy, you know, I feel bad. You know, they lost to Christ the King, and it was at late December, early January, and so I kind of shifted my attention to Christ the King in that little world. You know, I mentioned them a few times in the podcast to watch, and see, I guess that's what happens when you go with one result. You wind up with Thornton Christ the King.
Ronnie Fields, great story, though.
Yeah, really, I've heard rave really reviews. Cool. Yeah, from people that watched the team, and he came across real well, too, in the press conference. You're trying to shift, you know, the attention. A lot of people want to put it on Ronnie Fields back in Champaign, and he kept trying to shift it, you know, back to the kids and talking a lot about that. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes throughout the weekend. Here we go, Joe. State finals time, and we'll be back. I guess Monday or Tuesday to, depending on my energy level, how exhausted I am after the big stretch. But it is, everything's on TV. It's on like the U and then CW on Saturday, if you get that. And it's on NFHS if you want to stream it and be 15 to a half an hour minutes behind everybody else. I don't know what their deal is with that. It drives me nuts. But anyway, thanks for listening and enjoy the state finals.